Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaber.io, and I'm here today with George Simons, the co-founder of SoloSuit. Good morning, George. And I think it's afternoon in your case, correct?
Howdy. Yeah, just a few minutes afternoon.
Yeah, you're one time zone ahead of me, if I'm not mistaken. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work history?
Yeah, for sure. I'm George. I started off my career working as a wilderness guide, actually in the backcountry of the Sonoran Desert in Arizona, providing wilderness therapy to people, a little bit of an alternative background. And then eventually I decided to go back to school, went to law school, and that's where I got into SoloSuit.
Pretty cool. Wilderness, what was it? Wilderness?
Wilderness therapy. Yep, I was doing
wilderness therapy. In the deserts of Arizona. That had to be interesting.
Yeah, it was an exciting time for sure. It's the most deadly desert in the U.S., but it was a good time among the cacti. Yeah.
and you seem to have survived. So tell us about SoloSuit. What does SoloSuit do? Who do they help? How do they do it? All those things.
Yeah. So my first year of law school, I bought a car that turned out to be a lemon. It died 3 days after I bought it. And I needed an attorney to help me out, but I couldn't find an attorney that would take my case. And I thought, you know, if I'm in a building full of attorneys and I can't find one that'll take my case, who else out there can't find an attorney to take their case? It turns out lots of people. So I did a deep dive into the problem, and I found out that access to justice is a huge problem in the U.S. We rank dismally, I don't know what the latest number is, but like we rank 100th or so for access to justice out of the countries of the world, which is very poor. And about 80% of all legal needs across the U.S. go unmet by traditional lawyering.
Wow.
Yeah. So based on those points, I figured I could help people out better. And we made SoloSuit, focusing on the largest category in this problem, I thought, which is people in debt collection lawsuits. The majority of all cases in the U.S. are for debt collection. It's actually the biggest category for cases in civil law. And about 90% of the time, people just automatically would lose their case because they can't figure out how to respond to the lawsuit. So we made SoloSuit to make it easy to respond.
Interesting. We have something in common. I also had a lemon in college, and I also had a debt collection, and I did just pay it after a while. So where were you 40 years ago?
Hey, here we are now.
Well, cool. That's really interesting. So, and that surprises me that it's 80%. That's a huge number. I would have thought 20%. I would have thought the exact opposite. Is that what you thought too?
I would have thought that. I don't know if I had any thoughts initially, but I would have guessed that because, I mean, people always joke about how many attorneys there are in the U.S., right?
Mm-hmm.
Heard somebody say like there's more attorneys than toilets in the U.S. I don't know if that's accurate, but that's what I'm hearing. And yeah, there's a lot of attorneys, but it's this weird situation where I think in my mind, overregulation of the market has created problems on both sides, and that there's too many attorneys, but they provide too little services.
Yeah. Interesting. So, and it's interesting for the your target market, I have to believe that the pandemic had an effect on your target market, because as soon as the pandemic hit, people were out of jobs, and I've got to believe collections went up. Is that true?
Yeah, that's right. We haven't seen, I'm not aware of any like reports that have like precisely pinpointed how much debt collection cases have increased. But we are expecting an increase. I think the biggest increase is still yet to happen. I don't think we've even seen the spike necessarily yet. These debt collection cases can take a couple of years to fully evolve.
Oh, interesting. So it sounds like you're about to become rather busy. And then, yeah. I mean, before I looked on LinkedIn, you started in 2018, correct? So back then, the world was pretty much normal. But from what we talked about, you started your company as 100% remote, correct?
Yeah. So we started, SoloSuit officially launched in 2018 when I was in law school. And then for a period of time while I was in law school, Solo Suit was just me. It's just like a one guy for the most part. And then I brought on my partner and I went full time amidst the pandemic in April 2020. So right after the shutdowns occurred, I figured a lot of people are going to need our help. So we just decided to go full time, even with the pandemic occurring. And then from that beginning, yeah, we went fully remote because at that point in time, when we were a two-person company, the pandemic was in full force and we might as well just be remote. But also I had previously primarily worked from home during school. And my partner also worked from home previously. He worked from home for Amazon.
Oh, very cool. And then, so now a year and a half later, I'm assuming you're still 100% remote. Did you run into any challenges trying to recruit people, or did you find people were more open to it since, you know, remote had become more commonplace, I would say?
Yeah, for us, I'd say it felt primarily like a normal experience working from home. At that point in time, I had worked from home for various companies for the last like 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And my partner, he had worked from home, I think, for about the same period of time, like 3 to 5 years, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt pretty normal for us. And with the pandemic, I think we've only ever tried to recruit post-pandemic. So I'm not really sure what it feels like outside of the pandemic, because I haven't engaged in like hiring for a startup before that.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly didn't cause any problems. I'd say if anything, it was a benefit. I think a large part of the decision was just the fact that me and my partner, we don't really like going into offices.
Mm. So what else?
Yeah. And then we really just want to hire other people who are like us in that regard and prefer to work from home.
Mm. Yeah, and are the majority of your hirees also lawyers, or is it all over the board?
It's all over the board. We have people across the U.S. We have people in like Illinois, Texas, California, and we're a pretty small team. I'm the one with the legal background. Currently, we have software engineers that have worked from home before, and even like operations people. We have a bit of an operations arm for filing documents, and they do that out of their house.
Interesting. And it's interesting because I have to believe there is growing demand for your product. So how do you get the message out there that you're available there to help people?
We get the message out by focusing on ranking first on Google search and YouTube search. So people, first thing when somebody does when they get sued for a debt, they look up how do I respond to a debt lawsuit online. And then our articles rank for the search results. They find us, they think our content's helpful, and then they find out that we can also just file for them. We can do their response for them, and then they use our service.
Very interesting. So going forward, I mean, you're a growing company still. Do you foresee that you ever will have an office, or you think you're just going to keep growing organically and just find the best people wherever they are?
Yeah, we certainly have borrowed from the GitLab playbook.
Mm-hmm.
We have some shared investors as GitLab, and they are a great company. They're focused on transparency, so they have a lot of their, and they're also fully remote. And they have a lot of their procedures and like policies documented online, available to the public. So we borrow some of their policies, and one of their key tenets that their CEO discusses is remote first, or like be fully remote. So he believes that a company, in order to be remote successfully, he believes that a company needs to be fully remote. He's not like as far as I understand, he doesn't really advocate for like a hybrid method. And we don't either. So we intend just to be fully remote forever.
Interesting. And do you ever have plans to, you know, branch out into other countries, or you think you're going to stick to the U.S. for in the foreseeable future?
Yeah. Right now we do have somebody that's actually in Nigeria, that's visiting Nigeria for a time, an American in Nigeria. And so we don't have a problem with, you know, working with people in other countries. Our product is for the United States.
Mm.
So we probably have a bit of a bias towards hiring people inside the US. Mm. Probably mostly because our product helps only people in the US. Mm. And therefore, since we want to hire people who really resonate with the purpose of the product, we'll probably focus on hiring people in the US. But also, I wouldn't say technology and hiring has advanced to a point where it's super easy to hire people in other countries as employees.
Mm, that's true. Yes, I would.
But it's still like slightly, at least slightly more difficult than hiring such as
somebody else. And then you also have the thing, do you ever offer your services to people in other countries? That's a whole different
thing. Yeah, eventually.
Pardon me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, eventually, we may expand into other countries, but currently we're just US.
Yeah, okay, cool. Well, George, it was great talking to you today. It sounds like you've hit a sweet spot there in the market where, you know, I think you have a very good service that's going to help a lot of people going forward. So I wish you the best of luck with that.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.